From the spy analyst, "Stop, I need to win the midterms." Inside Trump's bitter showdown with Netanyahu, June 14, 2026. The president of the United States turned 80 years old. For most men, an eight-decade milestone means cake, candles, and quiet reflection. For Donald Trump, it meant detonating a diplomatic bomb that would crack the foundation of the American-Israeli alliance and potentially seal his own fate. That morning, the White House unveiled a framework agreement with Iran so sweeping that it instantly rewrote the rules of the Middle East. No humiliating preconditions, decades of carefully constructed sanctions, dismantled, and a staggering sanctions relief package unlocking access to over $300 billion in frozen assets and global oil revenues for the Islamic Republic. The U.S. committed to lifting restrictions to allow Iran access to at least $300 billion in trade and unfrozen accounts. Trump had promised the deal would be signed on his birthday, framing it as a personal victory, and he delivered, confirming the agreement at 5:29 p.m. Eastern Time on June 14th. But here's what the mainstream media isn't telling you. Iran did not want to give Trump a birthday gift. They refused to even acknowledge the framework until June 15th Tehran time, deliberately stalling the news to ruin his birthday optics and pushing the actual physical signing ceremony out to June 19th in Switzerland. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard even accused Trump of turning diplomacy into a personal propaganda show. The deal includes an end to military operations in Lebanon and the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz. The Memorandum of Understanding explicitly calls for an immediate and permanent end to the war on all fronts, including Lebanon. The U.S. committed to ensuring financing of at least $300 billion for Iran's reconstruction. The old Middle East is dead, and in its place, a geopolitical realignment so profound that it has triggered open rebellion, not just from Israel, but from within Trump's own administration. To comprehend the gravity of this moment, you must first understand the bizarre, largely unspoken architecture of the U.S.-Israel relationship, the public script, shared values, democratic solidarity, an unbreakable bond, the private reality, far more transactional and far darker. Israel's survival depends on American generosity, billions in military aid annually, diplomatic cover at the United Nations, where the American veto deploys like clockwork, intelligence sharing that would make most allies weep with envy, and the implicit promise that if Israel's existence faced a genuine existential threat, the full might of the American military would ride to the rescue. Without this umbilical cord, Israel would be isolated, surrounded, and outgunned in a region that has never fully accepted its presence. So when the Iran deal was announced, a deal that could stabilize the region and give America a new strategic partner, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu didn't protest quietly through back channels. He stood before the world and publicly declared Israel's independence from American influence. Israel launched a massive strike on Beirut just hours before the U.S.-Iran agreement was to be signed, an act that nearly derailed the entire deal. A Hezbollah attack had preceded it, but Trump noted it caused no damage and killed nobody. The Israeli response was disproportionate and deliberately timed. Trump's reaction was volcanic. In an Axios interview, he exploded. "Why did Bibi have to do a fucking attack? I was so pissed off, I let him know. He has no fucking judgment." On another call, Trump called Netanyahu crazy and accused him of ingratitude. According to a U.S. official, Trump told Netanyahu, "You're fucking crazy. You'd be in prison if it weren't for me. I'm saving your ass. Everybody hates you now. Everybody hates Israel because of this." Netanyahu doubled down. According to Israeli officials, he told Trump that Israel will not withdraw from Lebanon and will continue acting against Hezbollah regardless of American wishes. Minister of National Security Itamar Ben-Gvir declared, "Trump's agreement does not bind us. Israel is not subject to the United States, and we are an independent and sovereign nation." Think about that. A prime minister whose nation exists because of American blood and treasure, whose military hardware carries American serial numbers, whose economy relies on American guarantees. He told the American president to mind his own business, publicly, defiantly, as if the roles of patron and client had been entirely reversed. This wasn't a diplomatic misstep. It was a calculated display of power, intended to demonstrate precisely who holds the real leverage in this relationship. Donald Trump doesn't do diplomatic nuance. He operates on instinct, a primal understanding of dominance and submission. When challenged, he strikes back with devastating honesty. And so he said the quiet part out loud. At the G7 summit in France, standing alongside Qatar's emir, Trump declared, "Without the United States, there would be no Israel. Without me, there would be no Israel, because no other president was willing to do what I did." Every single word is factually undeniable. Historical documentation confirms this truth. Without American backing in 1948, the fledgling state would have been strangled in its cradle. The United States was the first country to recognize Israel just 11 minutes after its declaration of independence. President Harry Truman overrode the objections of his entire State Department to make that happen. Without American airlifts in 1973, during the Yom Kippur War, Israel would have been overrun. The U.S. delivered 22,000 tons of military supplies in Operation Nickel Grass, including tanks, artillery, and ammunition that were literally being pulled from American military units and flown directly to Israel. This resupply, which began on October 13, 1973, was the largest military airlift in U.S. history at that time and completely reversed the balance of power. Without American vetoes at the UN, Israel would be an international pariah. Since 1956, the United States has used its Security Council veto power to shield Israel from condemnation and sanctions on over 50 occasions, more than any other country. This diplomatic protection extends to every single one of Israel's major military operations. Without American military aid, Israel's advanced defense systems, the Iron Dome, David's Sling, the Arrow missile defense, would not exist. The U.S. has provided over $150 billion in military aid to Israel since 1948, including $3.8 billion annually in recent years. But these truths are forbidden in Washington. They shatter the myth of Israeli self-sufficiency. They expose the asymmetrical nature of the alliance. And they raise a terrifying question that keeps foreign policy elites awake at night. If Israel is so dependent on America, who is really serving whose interests? By uttering that forbidden truth, Trump didn't just anger Tel Aviv. He sparked a rebellion inside his own administration, where loyalty to Israel often runs deeper than loyalty to the United States. The first counterpunch came from a shocking direction. Mike Huckabee, former Arkansas governor, evangelical icon, and now the U.S. ambassador to Israel, a man who draws his salary from American taxpayers. His statement was so extreme it bordered on sedition. Speaking at the International Conference on Israeli Heritage in Judea and Samaria, a controversial event held in the occupied West Bank, the very territory at the heart of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, Huckabee declared, "Without Israel, without the Jewish foundation, there would not be America. We owe our very existence to what happened in this land. Not Israel needs America, not the alliance is vital." But an outright inversion of reality. A sitting American ambassador publicly declared that his own country's existence depends on a small Middle Eastern nation. To global audiences unfamiliar with American political dynamics, this sounds delusional,